guess the green light means it's on, right? Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that You've given us Your word and pray that You open our eyes, Father, now that we may behold wondrous things out of Your word and give strength by Your Spirit, Father, as we talk, teach about the gift of the Holy Spirit as Your Son gave Him to us and what all He means to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I've titled the study this morning, The Work of the Holy Spirit in the Life of a Believer. This will be an overview, not a detailed look at the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, because we couldn't cover all of it in 3/4 of an hour. So let's start with the very beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's go to John 16 and read verses 8 through 11. John 16, verses 8 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I want to start off with verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2:4, emphasizing the world. The Holy Spirit here reproves the world of sin. So that means everybody. And the reason He reproves everyone of sin, because they believe not on the Lord Jesus, is given in 1 Timothy 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" And verse 6 says, "Who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin. Every person, since He has come on the day of Pentecost, has been reproved of the sin of unbelief, because they believe not on the Lord Jesus. And let's turn to Romans 11:32. We see that He reproves all the world, because God wants all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And in Romans 11:32, we see that, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all." So all men, all the world, are in unbelief, and the Holy Spirit reproves men of the fact that they have not believed on the Lord Jesus. 1 John 5:10, what happens when people don't believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5:10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." That would be the Holy Spirit. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So all the world is unbelief, and all the world is in the place that they make God a liar. It says that He will reprove the world of righteousness, because I go to my Father. The Lord Jesus went to His Father. And let's go to Acts 17:30-31 and see why He says of righteousness because I go to my Father. The Lord Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again for our justification. He went to the Father. He's the only man who has died, been resurrected, and gone to the Father. Some claim they've been into heaven, but none of them have died and been resurrected. So in Acts 17, 30 to 31, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at before the cross, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. All the world make God a liar because they don't believe, but God has raised his Son from the dead and given assurance that he is righteous and that his Son was righteous. And it says he will reprove the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The god of this world is Satan, and we won't go there, but the prince of the world is judged, and they have believed Satan's lies. Eve believed Satan's lie in the beginning, and so the world is still believing Satan's lie, but he's been judged. He's judged, and Jesus is resurrected. So the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin because they didn't believe on him, of righteousness because the Lord Jesus has been resurrected and the great liar has been put to judgment. Okay, now John 3, 5. So the Holy Spirit in each of our lives, because we have been saved, he convicted us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and we believe, we said yes to him, and we said God is true. He is no liar. Satan is the liar. So then we see in John 3, 5. Let's go to John 3, 5. Jesus said this to Nicodemus. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The water is the word of God. First Peter tells us we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which endureth forever. So we've been born again by the Holy Spirit and the word of God. The Holy Spirit taking the word of God and reproving us of our unbelief and of righteousness and of judgment. Let's go to John 6, 44. This didn't come about, our new birth didn't come about anything that we had to do, just as all of us were born and we didn't have anything to do with it. But in the spiritual birth, we didn't have anything to do with it either. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father who has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So no man can come to the Lord Jesus, no man can come to him and be saved except the Father draw him. And of course, we've seen how the Father draws him. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Verse 65 of that same chapter, John 6. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Some givens were emphasized in the previous service. So here's another given. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Philippians 1:29. We didn't come to believe on him by ourselves. It was given to us. Philippians 1:29. No man can come unto me except it were given of him by my Father. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So it's been given unto us to believe. It's been given unto us to come unto the Father. None of us would have done either if it hadn't been for the work of the Holy Spirit. An example, this just give one example, is in Acts 16:14. Acts 16:14, you have a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. God opened her heart, and the same thing the Lord Jesus told Peter, that flesh and blood hadn't revealed those things unto him, but his Father which is in heaven. So the Lord opened her heart, and so we, it's an example, and we all know Ephesians 2:8, 9, and 10, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we don't have anything to boast about. We didn't come to faith. Faith was given to us. Okay, so now let's go to Romans 12:3. I want to, again, give another reference on the fact that some people will argue about the construction of Ephesians 2 there about the gift, faith not being the gift, but there are other scripture verses that say that faith is a gift. So let's go to Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3, the book of Romans was written to the saints that were at Rome. And so he says in Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So faith is a gift, and it has been given to every believer, and it comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to John 8:47. John 8:47. John 8:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. So that he that is of God, he that is been given the gift of faith. Of course, faith cometh by hearing, so the hearing had to come first, and hearing by the word of God. So it is a gift. Those who have been born of, those who are born of God have heard the word and been saved. And so let's go to another verse that was used again this morning in the breaking of bread. A very important verse, Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also, and they put the word trusted in here, but it's not in, that's why it's in different print. In whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that brings us to another work of the Holy Spirit. He has reproved us of our sin of unbelief. He has brought us to Christ. He has, we've been born again by him after we heard the word of the truth of the gospel, and then we believed, and then we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. It's all his work, so it's all to the praise of his glory. The word earnest there would mean a guarantee, or it's like an engagement ring. It's a promise, and it's the earnest. The Holy Spirit himself is that earnest that he has given to us that we're going to be redeemed and be forever with him. Let's go to John 7, 37 to 39. Again, I don't think these verses were given, but it was spoken about the truth of. It was spoken in the previous service, John 7, 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And it ties into the memory verse, made to drink of that same spiritual drink. And then in 39 says, "But this spake he, the spiritual drink of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus first had to die, be resurrected, and be glorified. He had to send up into heaven, and then he could send the Holy Spirit to us, which is the seal of our salvation. John 20, the next thing in let's read John 14, 16. We're right there in John. Don't have any clock to watch this morning, so I'm kind of lost. John 16, 14. John 14, 16. I got it backwards. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And the verse that was quoted this morning was Hebrews 13:5, that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So the seals, the earnest of our inheritance, the promise, he himself is there, and the Holy Spirit is going to abide with us forever. So that means we can't lose our salvation, because the Spirit of God is with us forever. Let's go to John. After that, we heard the word of truth, and we believed it, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And let's go to John 20, 22. John 20, 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So when the Lord Jesus came back to earth on the resurrection day, it's still the resurrection day, the same day at evening being the first day of the week, verse 19, Jesus said to the disciples there, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And that, let's go to Luke 24:45 to see what that means. Luke 24:45. "When they received the Holy Ghost, then they received an understanding." Luke 24:45. It's the same thing. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." So first comes the hearing of the word, the believing of it, all through the work of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, and then he opens their understanding. He had opened our understanding and made it possible for us to understand the scriptures. John 16, 13 to 15. We'll go there. And John 16, 13 to 15. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." So we have the The Holy Spirit has given us an understanding, and He guides us in the truth. And let's go to 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing, and we'll talk about the fact that we, as Christians, we have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit and anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we won't read this verse again. But you have it here, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. So by the Holy Spirit we've been born again, and He has opened our understanding, given us an understanding, and He is our teacher, so we can understand God's Word. Okay, let's go to Acts 1, 3 to 5. Now we have another, in Acts, the first chapter, we have another work of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 3 to 5, He said in John, the day He was resurrected, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And then in Acts 1, 3 to 5, we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, 3 to 5. To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Then we had our memory verse for today, 1 Corinthians 12:13, and let's go and read that verse, and then verse 27 in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And what that means in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we want to look at the body of Christ, two different aspects of the body of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. There are two aspects, and they're both taught in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1:22. And He hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've been made members of the church, the body of Christ. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5:30. Here's another aspect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or of His body, in which we were baptized into by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, verse 30, for we are members of His body. And now it's not talking about specifically about the church, but it says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And you remember what Adam said when he saw Eve? He said in Genesis chapter 2:23, Adam said, this is now bone of My bone and flesh of My flesh. So through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we've been baptized into one body, into the church, and also into the body of the Lord Jesus, the bone and His bones and in His flesh. All right, so let's go to Romans, the sixth chapter, and it wasn't until the baptismal service of George Hughes that I really saw the truth of this, of what it's saying here, because I always thought it was water baptism. But this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, and we'll read 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's because we have been baptized into the body of Christ, which is his bones and his flesh. When he died, we died with him. When he was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. This is true in position. And since he was righteous, we are righteous. Because we've been baptized into the body of Christ, and we are members of his bone and of his flesh. So this can be seen, for example, in Ephesians 2, 5 to 6. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. Because we've been baptized into the body of Christ, when he died, we died. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. And it even goes on further than that. It says in Ephesians 2, 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, we were baptized into Christ, into his body, into his bones and flesh. We're not sitting, you're sitting here in the pews. This is the actual of it. But in reality, as Christ sees us, because we were baptized into his flesh and bones, we're sitting together in heavenly places in Christ. And so that's the argument in Romans 6. If we're dead with Christ, then we should be dead to sin, dead to the old man. And we should be living in newness of life. And water baptism is a picture of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we were baptized into his bone and into his flesh, we died with him and we were raised again with him. And we're sitting in heaven together with him in heavenly places. This is because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A great truth there. Some other things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Let's go to Book of Romans. We have quite a few. And again, Ken made some of these in the Book of Romans already this morning. Okay, Romans 5, 5. Romans 5, 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given unto us. The Holy Ghost has been given unto us, and so the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, God's love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And of course, you have the fruits of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, temperance. I didn't get that quite right, but you see, the love is of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is in Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And Joe referred to that in his prayer already this morning. So the Holy Spirit helps us. Not only does he help us understand the scripture, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by him. He helps us in our prayer life because we don't know how to pray as we ought. So he helps us in our infirmities. He helps us in our prayer life. Romans 15:13. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does for us, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we were baptized, and he said that power, he told the apostles that they would be endued with power, and that power was for the witness. And Stephen, he preached full of power, and they could not resist the power and the wisdom that Stephen spoke of, so they killed him, martyred him, because Stephen had the power that was given by the Holy Ghost, and he was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. And also here in this verse we have that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost with all joy and peace in believing. Again, there are some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and these come about through the power of the Holy Ghost. So the we have in Romans, back to Romans 14:17, right across the page, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So righteousness and peace and joy, of course, peace and joy would be the effect of righteousness, and that's because of the joy in the Holy Ghost, which we have just read about, through the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, in 1 Peter 1:2, the last time I spoke at the prayer meeting, we spoke about the priesthood of the believers. Just as the Old Testament priest had to, in order for him to serve, he had to be sanctified. And we as priests, it says in Revelation that thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. How were we made kings and priests? What has been done? What has the Lord done to us to make us kings and priests? Well, there are principally two things. We had to be sanctified. That's 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So we've been sanctified through the Spirit, and also remember the Lord Jesus said in John 17:7, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So as believers, and of course you have the work of the Holy Spirit teaching us the truth and guiding us in the truth, that we've been sanctified as a part of our being coming believer priest. We've been sanctified by the Spirit, and we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit that we already read in John 2:27. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 5:18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 4:30, it says right across the page, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when we're engaged in these kind of things, then the Holy Spirit is grieved, and we're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So we need to be filled with the Spirit. And how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, it goes back to the same things. We were saved by the work of the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, so we need to be in the Word of God. Hebrews 5:11, Paul tells people in Hebrews, and the same thing is said in Romans. In Hebrews 5:11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles, the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And one of the things that's said repeatedly in the messages to the seven churches says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So we need to hear and obey the things that the Holy Spirit shows us as he teaches us in the Word. And one thing that's very important is in being filled with the Spirit is to be in prayer, because the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does, it helps our infirmities, and by the Holy Spirit we cry, "Abba, Father." So let's go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. And of course this brings 4:6, we'll read 5-7. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So we can't neglect in our life the hearing of God's word. You know, we don't want to be like it says in James, "Man looketh into the mirror and straightway forgets what he sees." So when we read the Word of God, we need to be hearers of it and not dull of hearing, so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather are filled with the Holy Spirit. And one important thing in the study of God's Word is every time we pick up the Scriptures to read the Scriptures, we can, and we need also... Turn first to Ephesians, one prayer that I pray for myself and my family and you all hear quite often is this prayer in Ephesians 1:15. And I'll start in Ephesians 1:15. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." You know, they were enlightened when we were saved, but it's an ongoing process. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power." So this is this type of prayer we all need, and we need to be engaging in it, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. And you have in Psalms 119, I said it's very important when we pick up God's word and that we do these things. Psalms 119, verse 18, this verse goes along with what we read there in Ephesians 1. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And just going down through Psalms 119 in verse 12, it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. And we need to be taught by the Lord, taught by his Holy Spirit. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, and thou hearest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I observed it with my whole heart. It's in verse 66, and I may have missed some. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. And this is the prayer in Philippians where Paul prays for them that escaped me right now. Philippians 1, he prayed for them that their love might abound in judgment. I thought I could quote it. I better turn to it. Philippians 1, this matter of good judgment. And this is another one of the prayers of Paul that I pray. I find the prayers of Paul good prayers to pray. Ephesians 1, 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So you have there another prayer that we may, our love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and we approve things that are excellent and be filled with the fruits of righteousness. I'll stop there, but these are, Some of the works that I said, this is not a detailed study of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but just an overview of what the Holy Spirit has been given to us by the Lord Jesus, and it could not be given until he was glorified. So we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this great salvation that the Lord Jesus has provided for us. Not only are we saved from an eternity in hell, but you've made us members of the church. You've made us members of his bone and of his flesh, and in him we've been died to sin and to self, and we've been raised. You've made us in him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things are passed away and all things are become new. Father, we know that all these things haven't happened to us yet, but it's through the Word of God and your Holy Spirit that you've given to us that we can work on these things, work out our salvation in fear and trembling, for it is you who work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So we thank thee, Father, for the work of the Holy Spirit, and may we be yielded, Father, to him and bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.